News Talk on demand. Interruption-free audio. Where you want it, when you want it.
Having a great Sunday so far. I'm Brittany Cafe here with Rick Van Dyvendyke. If you have a question, you can feel free to give us a call. The number is 1-877-332-8255. Rick, before we take some more callers and answer some more questions, I did just want to mention something pretty exciting and pretty special that we saw this week. Our good friend Jamie Nye shared about it, and it is a tribute to Warren Woods. Yeah. At the Brandt Center in Regina. So Warren Woods, if you've listened to Garden Talk for any length of time, you most likely would have heard Warren on here hosting with Rick. Warren last year contracted COVID-19 and unfortunately passed away after a fairly long and incredibly courageous battle with COVID. So it's pretty amazing and pretty special to see Woodsy's corner at the Brandt Center.
Yeah, it's like a Woodsy Corner, a place where I used to sit all the time watching the hockey games or different sports events. And so, yeah, they have a bunch of pictures and everything else set up in that corner. So a good momentum and good memory of legacy of Woodsy. When I heard that this last week, I had a smile on my face and just thinking that's exactly perfect memorial for Woodsy, because everybody remembers him sitting in the same spot. In Brandt Center.
Yeah, it's a great, like, perfect memorial, and it was definitely well earned. We miss Warren a whole lot around here.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, we're going to head back to the phone lines now. We have Bruce in Bigger. Hi, Bruce.
Good morning.
What's your question?
I have 3 Saskatoon trees in my yard. I've been here 10 years. I figured the trees are about 50 years old. No idea what variety. They bear fruit, but the fruit is never plump. All I've ever done is add water to them. Is there something else I can do?
Yeah, your plants are probably have lost all their nutrients. So there's lots of fertilizers out there that are meant for fruit and berries.
Okay.
And so you can use one of those on there. It's just putting all the other micronutrients back into the soil. Because a lot of you don't want to put a high nitrogen. That's the big one, okay?
Okay.
And what you can do, too, have you ever pruned the Saskatoons?
No. They're about 15 feet high.
Yeah, so what I suggest you do if you want is that do that when the plants are dormant, either in October, okay, or otherwise in the spring, in March or before the end of the first week in May. You know, prune them down to about 8 feet tall.
Okay.
And you'll find you'll get a lot more berries, and you'll get your plant will just do better. But also putting those nutrients down, because like I said, that old bush is used up all the nutrients down. I don't know whether you clean up all the leaves and everything else around the plant. I mean, when you do that, you're taking away all the food as well. So
I mow, but I never take away. Yeah. But I'm also on very sandy soil here too.
Yeah, so important then, you know, getting some of those micronutrients down there, and then especially some of your, look for one that's for fruit and berries, and that will have all the micronutrients to make your plant, and also in these heat, moisture is huge. Okay, that's the big one, is that keeping plump is moisture at the right time, especially when the berries are just forming.
That's okay.
Huge. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for the call, Bruce. Have a good day. All right, we have Karen in Saskatoon. Hi, Karen.
Hi. How are you guys?
Doing good, thanks. What's your question?
Yeah, I've got a couple of blueberry bushes. I bought them last year, planted them. One thrived. The other one, not so great. And this year they leafed out in the spring, but both of them are not looking happy. And I was just wondering, is it possibly the soil or the spring we had? Should I fertilize? I don't know what to do with these poor things.
Yeah, number one is that if you have blueberries in Saskatchewan, unless you live up near, you know, Prince Albert or north, you have to add aluminum sulfate to your soil, because you have to get the pH of your soil down to around 6.5, okay?
Okay.
And most of our soils, not everywhere, I mean, especially in the central part of the province here, I know our soil, even our water coming out of the city of Saskatoon taps in the spring, the pH is up around 8.3. Okay. And the blueberries will slowly decline if you just leave them at that high of a pH, and you won't get very many berries. So you need to add some aluminum sulfate around, probably around once a month. You know, put about a around your bush, put about a half a cup full around your how old are they? Well, you only planted them last year?
Yeah, I just got them last year.
So about a quarter cup, okay?
Okay.
But once a month during the growing season, and as they get bigger, you can add more. But when they're that small, about a quarter cup is good. And that'll help bring the lower the pH of the soil. Where do you live?
Just east of Saskatoon. East of the city,
Yeah, so you got higher alkaline out there, so that's the reason why your blueberries are having trouble. So a quarter cup once a month and of aluminum sulfate, and then also using your other, like I talked about the Saskatoons, using a berry fertilizer because it doesn't have high nitrogen, but a lot of the other micronutrients as well. But you need to add that aluminum sulfate, and then that's the only way you're going to get them to be able to not go decline each year as you put them in. Okay, it's very important.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Karen. All right, we have Jerry in Saskatoon. Hi, Jerry.
Good morning. I've got a question for Rick. I planted half a dozen new clematises with trellis and stuff.
Yep.
And I damaged one. And it dried up within a week in this heat and fizzled away to nothing. The other ones are doing not bad. Do I dig that root ball up, throw it away, and start again? Or will it send out a new one in the spring?
Usually it'll send out a new one fairly quickly when it gets damaged, okay? So,
because there's absolutely there's nothing left. It's right down to the mulch. And so, and that just happened last week. So give it a week or two and see if it doesn't send.
Yep, give it a week or two. It'll probably send up. Give it a light fertilizing, not a heavy fertilizing, okay?
Yep.
And it should send up. It'll want to revive itself. So it should send up a new sprout, okay?
Okay, and so I won't panic here.
No, give it about 2 to 3 weeks yet, and you should get a new sprout coming up.
Okay, thanks a lot, Rick. Okay.
Awesome. Thanks Bye-bye. For the call, Jerry. All right, Maureen in Saskatoon. Hi, Maureen.
Good morning. As I quickly eat my cucumber I'm munching on.
Is it your own cucumber from your garden?
I'm making salads. It's my husband's 70th birthday today.
Oh, happy birthday to him. Did you grow the cucumbers yourself?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, well done.
Perfect. Nothing better, right, than a fresh cucumber.
Yeah, well, we put in those Sweet Success.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. We've been feeding our whole neighborhood Sweet Success cucumbers for 2 weeks now.
Gee, I need you as a neighbor, Maureen.
Yeah, that's great.
I love to hear those stories.
Oh, perfect. They're just great. Next year, I'm only going to put in 3 plants, not 6. We probably picked, I'm going to say 30.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
And they're full again. Anyway, I have a couple questions. To my dismay, I have discovered I have red lily beetles.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, so I never even heard about them, and my sister-in-law noticed them, and there's holes on most of my lily plants.
Yep.
So what's the best way for me to get rid of these?
Your flowers are probably done by now, right? Just finished?
Yeah, a lot of them are, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So spray ambush on the leaves, both sides, okay? Get the underside of the leaves especially.
Okay, and Hubby did that every 10 days. Hubby did that. He used 7.
7, that's fine too, okay?
Okay.
And every 10 days, okay?
Okay.
And because there are going to be eggs underneath there, right?
Yeah.
That's and they're going to hatch too. And you can always look underneath the leaves and you'll see the little orange little rows of eggs. You can always pick them off as well with your, just scrape them off with a little screwdriver or fingernail or whatever. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
You can always knock them off into a little pail, and then destroy them. Okay. So, but you'll have to keep on top of it. And next year you have to watch early when they first start coming out of the ground. And keep on top with the ambush. You just don't want to hit the flowers with ambush, okay? Because it'll put little brown spots in the flowers.
Okay.
But other than that, otherwise you can do it every 10 days.
Okay. So right now I'm even going to spray the lilies that I don't see any damage yet because they could be going to move on to them.
Oh, there might be some little ones in there that you haven't noticed yet, okay?
Exactly. But
if you have some of them, you're going
to... I have one other question. I have my beautiful Annabelle hydrangeas. The plants did great this year, the best they've done in a few years. But I only have blooms on half of them. The other ones don't look like I'm going to get any blooms.
On half the plants, or half the plant itself, or half the...
I think they're separate plants.
Okay. So...
Did I fertilize too much?
You may have fertilized too much. One thing you want to do, did you prune them back at all in the spring?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. So basically every spring with hydrangeas, I like to cut them back at least a third. Okay.
Okay.
And they'll actually put more blooms on for you, and it gives them just that little bit of stress that they'll put on way more blooms for you. So them back at least a third. I like in the fall, I like to prune off the old flower heads, but not the whole plant. Okay. Just the flower heads. So
yeah,
the snow doesn't,
that.
Just so that the snow doesn't knock them down. And then in the spring, I leave all the other branches. That's why I just take the flower heads off. Mm-hmm. And then I trim them back a third in the spring, because I like leaving all those branches up there to catch snow for the wintertime. And then cut them back a third in the spring, and you'll have way more blooms. Okay. Important.
Okay. That's what I did wrong. And can I cheat and ask one other question?
Sure, yep. One more.
Okay, well, yeah, I'm sure he can answer this pretty quickly. We have a cherry tree, which has been awesome up until this year, and it was hurt like so many bushes and shrubs this year. But it's kind of funny because I've talked to Rick earlier in the season about this. Half of the tree has leaves and cherries, and the other half doesn't.
Okay. If it doesn't have it, watch for oozing out of the main stems.
Okay.
If it's oozing out of the main stems, then it has a virus, okay? And then the best thing to do for that is just to trim those branches right out, okay, that had the oozing out of the stems. It'll come back again. It'll go right back from the ground again. They're on their own root. But if it's dead on the one side, you probably got the virus in the cherries. That's one thing they do get. But you just need to trim it right out and then get that piece of branch right out of the yard. Do not put it into your compost and those
kind
of things, okay?
Are you saying just the part that appears dead on the one half of the tree?
Yep. Yep.
And
just trim
branches,
that.
Will branches come out again? Or is it going to have a lopsided tree?
No, it'd be lopsided for a little bit, but it'll fill in very quickly. You don't worry. Oh. The cherries will send up suckers, and they'll fill in really quickly again. But just if you got a dead part of it, just trim it out. Very important, because that virus, the insects will spread that virus with that oozing of the sap. Those insects will spread that around to other parts of your plant. So if it's dead, you want to trim it out right away. Very important.
So where I'm getting the shoots isn't on the tree. It's all around the tree on the ground, which I've been cutting off.
Yeah, no, but just now leave some of those to come and fill that spot up.
Oh,
so they'll come right from the ground.
Then it'll be a bush, not a tree.
That's correct, yeah. Otherwise, you will get some branches that will come out of your out of the other half of the tree. Like you just got a single stem up, is that right?
Yeah, we've got a trunk like a normal tree and really nice branches. And, some of those branches have a couple green leaves on them, so I know that the branch isn't dead.
Yeah, but if there's oozing out of that main stem, then you might as well start letting some new suckers come up and train them up to be a tree as well, okay? Because you're going to eventually lose that whole part of the tree, okay? So just let a sucker come, let one or two suckers, three suckers come up and train them up to be a tree. Okay.
Okay.
To fill those up. That's what you want to start doing.
Thank you.
Okay?
Thanks so much for the call, Maureen. Have a great day. I'm Brittany Caffey here with Rick Van Dyvendyke, and you're listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Brittany Caffey here with Rick Van Dyvendyke. If you have a question, feel free to give us a call. The number is 1-877-332-8255. We have Doug on the line out in Buffalo Pound. Hi, Doug.
Yeah, hi.
What's your question?
It's a beautiful day.
It is.
I've got some rhubarb that I've transplanted. It's kind of a bit of a family history thing here because it came from the family farm, and then my parents had it in Winnipeg, and I brought it out to my cottage a couple years ago, and it doesn't seem to be doing very well. I've got it in direct sun. I water it really well a couple times a week, and it's kind of spindly. It starts off really well in the spring with kind of dark leaves or whatever. But by now the leaves are yellowing and it just doesn't seem to be thriving at all.
Okay, so you said one thing about your rhubarb. You said you watered it a couple times a week.
That's correct.
Right?
Of course, it's that.
Yeah. Yep, just cut out the watering a bit. I think you're watering just a little bit too much. Rhubarb would like to be on the drier side, okay? So I have some rhubarb I barely watered at all, but they're well-established, but I barely watered at all. So just give it every once in a while, give it a good watering, but then just let it dry out between the waterings, okay? And so you're probably better to water that rhubarb probably once every 2 weeks type of thing, okay? And that'll do better. And then also just using a very low vegetable fertilizer around them. And that'll just help them. I'm not sure. Which lake are you at?
Buffalo Pound.
Buffalo Pound. So yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the soil is like around there. You want to make sure that you have well-drained soil. If it's a really, really heavy clay soil, it might be retaining the moisture too much down below, especially if you're watering every second week. And then you'd have some trouble with the root down below, okay? So if it's a heavy clay. So that's the big one, is that what you can always do is to stick a piece of rebar, stick it down to the bottom of your planting hole, you know? So you want to go down about, I don't know how big of a piece of rhubarb you put in, but you probably want to go down about 6 to 8 inches down with a piece of rebar, pull it up, and then just see what the moisture is like in the ribs. If there's any moisture at all, don't water it, okay? Only water it if it's bone dry.
That's excellent. Thank you very much. I guess we go up there twice a week, and that's why every time we're there, we water it, right?
Yeah, don't do that. Yeah, it doesn't need that much water.
It's not very often you're told to neglect your plant more. Some good advice there. Okay, thanks so much for the call, Doug. All right, we're going to head to the text line quickly, Rick. We'll do a little bit of a speed round here. This is a text from Chip in Regina. When's the best time to plant emerald or Brandon cedar shrubs?
Best time is in the spring. I honestly like planting my before August the 1st. That'd be the last about, if I was going to plant one, I wouldn't plant past August the 1st. They just don't, unless you're going to wrap them for the first about a couple of winters, but they just don't seem to get rooted as well if you plant them after August the 1st. And so planting them early in the spring is the best, when the frost is gone. So you're looking around, after May the 10th, in that range. That's the best time to plant them. Emeralds, if you're going to do anything, if I'm going to tell you a choice between emeralds and Brandon's or another one that's called Skybound, do the Skybound or the Brandon's. Emeralds, if you plant them in a sunny location, they're going to just brown in any winter that you might get. We might get a Chinook or something like that in the middle of wintertime, and they'll brown. So emeralds do better if you're going to plant them on the north side of a house, but not on the south or west side of the house. They just don't do well. Plant Skybound or Brandon, or if you want a narrow one, plant one that's called Holmstrup, Holmstrup, Holmstrup cedar, if you want a narrower one that looks a little closer to the feather and leaves like an emerald has.
Perfect. Okay, and this is the kind of text that I love to see. I have some good news. Last year, I spent probably every day for an hour or so squashing potato bugs. This year, I put onion only in about 10 hills. I have zero potato bugs. I had one bug earlier on my garlic, but I repeat, zero bugs on my potatoes. That's from Tim in Yorkton. That's awesome.
That's awesome, because I've been getting mixed results, okay? Because remember we talked about that. We had a lady phone us way earlier in the season saying she did all of her potatoes except for two or three, and all the ones that she put an onion piece, sliced onion with, she had no problem with. Yep. And then the other ones, she had all kinds of problems. And so, but then I had other people call in. They said they tried the onions and their neighbors tried the onions and they had no success at all. So one thing I like to know is, because I haven't done it myself, I like to know from the people who had success, how much of a piece of onion did they put in with their plant? Because that would make a difference too. So if anybody could let me know how much of an onion they had, when they had success, That might be the difference. Maybe someone's only putting a little cube in there and someone's putting in a whole big slice. And so let's just find out the instructions for ratio of how much onion.
Yeah, give us the whole rundown.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we're going to take a quick break for the news. I'm Brittany Caffey here with Rick Van Dyvendyke, and you're listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Give us a call, send us a text, 1-877-332-8255. We have Rebecca in Estevan on the line. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi there.
What's your question?
I have a fiddle leaf fig tree, and it is getting too tall for my space, and I'm wondering what to do with it.
Yeah, you can trim them, okay? So you can trim them, or you put them on Kijiji and you sell them and start again.
So when you say trim them, like am I trimming it at the very top and just leaving it, and it just continue trimming it?
Yep, just keep trimming. Yep, absolutely. They're just like any other tree. They don't mind pruning. So
on the top of it, it's actually now it's leafed out into two different like sprigs, I guess, like
yep.
sections. Yep. Can I like replant one of those, like trim it and propagate or whatever it's called?
Sometimes that's tougher. Because what you have to do with the fig, a lot of times what you do called air layering. So what you do is you put a little bit of peat moss or cocoa fiber. And you wrap some, you put a little cut into the bark, and then you wrap the cocoa fiber in some cellophane wrap, and then out of that, then have just a little bit of moisture in there, and out of that, in that cellophane wrap, it'll actually root, okay, in that little incision you made in the bark. And then once you see the roots, then you can trim it off below that and then transplant. It's called air layering, okay?
Okay.
And so you can Yep.
Sorry, one other question, just so they're on the same plant. Sometimes I notice like a little sap on the floor around it. Is that normal or?
Yeah. Every once in a while you'll see that. There'll be a little spot from a new bud it's sometimes from insects, but inside the house, you're not going to see that problem. But sometimes you'll just see a drop of sap come down from a new bud, or from, it might be from a wound from the plant. It could be from a number of things, but that's normal.
Okay. Perfect. I just wanted to say, thank you very much.
Awesome.
Okay.
Thanks so much for the call, Rebecca. All right. We've got Rhonda on the line in Dundurn. Hi, Rhonda.
Hi, good morning, Brittany and Rick. Just before I ask my question, I have to let you know that, we tried the potato thing or the onions and Ooh. The potato. And, we've harvested a few of our potatoes. Now we put pretty thick slices in each hole when we planted. Yep. So far so good. And my sister-in-law also thought we were crazy, but we said try it. So waiting to hear, she's down in Regina. We'll see what her results are. So,
but you had success though. You had success though.
Yeah.
Did you?
Well, we haven't had any beetles this year, so not so far. Okay. So yeah.
Awesome.
So,
perfect.
But we weren't cheap with the onions either.
How thick did you make it?
Well, a big onion, I think we probably had maybe six plants per onion or so. So
okay.
we're pretty generous with the onions.
Okay, perfect. Maybe that's what it is.
Hamburger. Yeah, maybe that's it. So my question for you today, Rick, is we have a couple of raspberry patches, but now it looks like the quack grass is taking over, and I thought raspberries were tougher than can be, but I have a feeling it's hurting the production of the fruit and yep. the plant itself. What would be the best thing to do to get rid of that grass that's right in yeah. the plants?
Just take what you can do is just take a, what I do is I'll grab the quack grass and I'll lay it on the ground. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just carefully lay it on the ground. Like I'll just pull it out of in between the plants, lay it on the ground. And then I'll take a little, if there's no leaves from the quack, from your raspberries around, I'll take a little spritzer bottle and I'll just spritz the leaves of the quack grass that is laying on the flat on the ground away from the raspberries. Or what you can do is you take a sponge brush and you can just paint the leaves of the quack grass, and it'll kill the quack grass right to the roots within 14 days.
But what if you have so much grass and it's in amongst all the plants? Would you consider just cutting everything down in the fall? Starting again?
You can. What you can do is that the problem is that the only way you're going to get rid of that is by either digging everything up and getting rid of the roots, but that's really hard to do.
Oh.
That's a that's, you know, that's really hard to do, or spraying the whole works and starting all over again, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the best way to do it is just slowly, you know, every once in a while, just take a, every week, just take a patch and just go there and just, and paint it, or lay it down so that, and spray it, right? And, and if you have to, if you got other little suckers coming up, lay a piece of cardboard down or something like that and lay your grass on top of the cardboard and then give it a spritz, right?
And now
of your quackgrass.
With Roundup? Is that what you're...
With Roundup, yeah.
Okay.
And then it'll kill that grass right to the root, and it'll kill the grass mm-hmm. in a little circle around that. So you, even if you don't get quite every single blade of grass, it will mm-hmm. still kill the grass in that location, okay? And okay. so that's, that is honestly, you just got to... You just got to be, if there's a lot of work to do all at once, you might just have to take little patches and just keep working at it, okay?
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
but
yeah.
other
yeah.
other than that, there's no way of, because if you mow down your raspberry patch and let it grow again, the raspberry patch will grow up and you sow your quackgrass and you just, there's no way to spray it. So there's just, you're better off just to go in there and just lay the grass down and just spray it, and spray it that way. That's the only way of getting rid of it.
Okay, and do it any time, I guess.
Do it any time, or otherwise start taking your suckers and in the spring or the fall mm-hmm. and start another patch in another spot. You know, get a patch mm-hmm. started, and then yeah. you get rid of that patch, and now you got a patch somewhere else started that you're fresh and started. That's the only other option.
Okay. All right. Well, I got work to do.
Thank you so much. Okay. Thanks for the call, Rhonda. Have a good day. Okay. We have lots of callers on the line right now and not very much time left. So we're going to ask that everyone just limit yourself to one question. Okay. I know it's hard. Okay. We've got Sue on the line in Silver Park. Hi, Sue.
Hi. My question is, I live up here and there's a lot of bush. And my question is that the tree's leaves seem to be covered with a sticky substance. And when I licked it, it's sweet. So it's obviously sugars coming out of the leaves. And all the railings on the house and the vehicles are all covered in this sticky mist.
Yep.
So, like, what's going on? Like, don't the trees need this sugar to put in their roots for next year's production?
Yep. You have aphids. You have a lot of aphids. And then what's happening is
I look on the underside of all these leaves, and I'm not seeing any aphids.
Yeah, you most likely have the insects, and what they do is, or even spider mite, and you can't really see the spider mite as much. And what they do is they suck on the leaf, and then they excrete the sap. Okay, and then the sap is what's dripping. See it lots right now, like a lot, especially. So that's what's happening with them, is that there is an insect and it could be spider mite, and there's spider mites are, you almost need a magnifying glass to see them. They're so small, but you have an insect that's sucking on the leaf and then excreting the sap. And then that's why you're having the sticky substance.
But what's interesting is the railings and the vehicles are nowhere near the trees. Do you know what I mean? It seems to be coming down almost like a misty substance.
Oh, that's
interesting. And it's drifting far from where the trees are.
Well, we've had some pretty heavy winds lately, too. So that would definitely, these big winds we've been having would definitely drift it away from the tree. It'd be just like when it rains, right? It's all over the place. So, but I'm almost guaranteed that you're going to have the issue. And I've looked at a whole bunch of trees that I've found a bunch of insects, whether it been spider mite, especially because spider mite love it when it's hot. Okay. They just love it when it's hot. That's when they thrive the best. They reproduce the most, and then they suck on the leaves and they excrete, and then you get all this sap on the outside edge of the leaf. And so if it's spider mite, you have to spray with malathion. If it's just aphids, then you just spray with ambush.
Rick, I have 100 acres of bush behind my house.
I know.
this must compromise the trees, right?
Yeah, it will compromise the trees, especially with the drought, with not as much water, because those trees are they're so close together. There's a lot of competition. Mm-hmm. And so that will, hopefully we don't have this kind of a drought next year. If you have the regular kind of rains, it's not a big deal. The plant can handle it, okay?
Right.
So the only thing to do is protect some of the trees that are on the outer edge of your bush, so that you have them there, so that you protect those ones, so they give you a bit of a screen from the rest of it behind it. Okay.
Thank you kindly.
You're welcome.
Thanks so much, Sue. All right, I'm Brittany Cafe here with Rick Van Dyvendyke, and you're listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. super speedy round on the phones here. I'm Brittany Caffey here with Rick Van Dyvendyke, and we have Edna on the line in Saskatoon. What's your question, Edna?
Hi. I have had a really bad infection of infestation, I should say, with the lily beetles.
Yes.
And they've eaten all the leaves. I've sprayed at least 6 to 8 times right from the beginning. And I've also picked dozens of them. All that's left is the stems, pretty much. I'm wondering if I should just cut those right off or what.
No, just leave the stems there. Even the stems will take the light energy through this, and that'll put energy. Even the stems will put energy back down to the bulb for the fall.
Oh, they will.
Yeah. So just leave them on there. Don't cut them off, and just keep on. Yeah, I know. Yeah, but that energy will go from the bulb, from the stem even into the bulb. So just leave whatever is there, just leave it there because the bulb will need that energy, for next year.
But I'm still spraying, too. They're going to other plants even.
Well, yeah, because they'll start eating anything they can, right? So you just got to keep on top of them. And how often do you spray?
Probably, sometimes more often than I probably should. I'll keep a bottle full.
Yep.
And keep spraying it. I use Endol.
Yeah, Endol. Try Endol's okay, but try using Ambush.
But I have a cat, and I'm worried about her. She's all over the yard.
As long as she's not eating on the leaves and that kind of stuff, she'll be okay. So, but as long as I don't think the cats are eating the lily leaves anyway, so that as long because the Endol is not getting them all is hard because it only coats them, right? It has an Endol has a little tiny bit of Ambush in it, but not very much.
Oh.
And that's what's getting them in the Ambush. So in the Endol, and so you're best off to do is that just don't let the cat out there when you're spraying, so that she's not out there when you're actually spraying, and let it dry. Once it dries, because the cat won't eat the lily. Most cats won't eat the lily leaves anyway.
No,
so
he won't eat anything like that. I know that, but I'm just worried about the breathing the spray and that in.
Yeah, just don't make sure she's in the house when you're actually doing the actual spray.
Okay.
And once it's dry, it's fine. Okay.
Hey, awesome. Okay. Thanks so much for the call, Edna. Great. All right, we've got Joe on the line in Prince Albert. Hi, Joe. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Wanting to know, I'm looking to plant grass from seed, and when is the best time that I should do that?
Oh, anytime now. It'll germinate in as long as you've got water. Obviously, right now, it's droughted or in the windy, so as long as you keep it moist, okay? That's the big one.
Okay.
So that's the key. Otherwise, if you don't have the water to keep it moist, then wait until it cools down in the beginning of September and put it in there. Otherwise, you can wait until the end of October, put it down, and then it'll germinate with the moisture in the spring, okay?
Okay, when putting, I understand that I'd use a Canadian-based grass seed variety. When spreading it, after I spread it, say I'm going to pack the dirt, I'm going to spread the seed, then do I kind of lightly rake it into the soil?
Yes, correct. Just a lightly rake into the soil so it gets in contact with the soil, a little bit of soil over top of it.
Yeah.
And then you can always put another, if you're having problems with moisture, you can put a little layer of peat moss over top of that if you want.
Okay.
And that'll make it so you won't have to water quite as much.
Great.
Awesome.
Okay.
Thanks so much for the call, Joe. Have a great day. Okay. All right. We have Dee Dee on the line in Regina. Hi, Dee Dee.
Hi. It's actually Edie, but that's fine.
Oh, sorry, Edie.
No problem. First of all, I really enjoy your show. My question is, we want to plant a single row of evergreens to be used. We actually live on an acreage, and they will be used as a shelter belt / windbreak. How far apart should we plant them, and what kind should we use?
Okay, so what I suggest you do for sure is that you can plant them anywhere from 12 to 20 feet apart, okay?
12 to 20, okay.
Yep, and that way 12 will get them quicker, depending on the size you're going to put in. I put mine 20 feet. 20 years later, mine were touching, okay?
Okay.
At 20 feet, that took longer. That's all. It took longer to, but they were. I can't mow between them anymore. At 22 years later, okay.
Right.
And otherwise, what you want to do for variety is mm-hmm. don't plant all the same type, okay?
Don't plant all the same type, okay.
Because if you put all Colorado spruces, you might get an infestation of needle cast disease, okay? Uh-huh. So if you can put a Colorado spruce in there, you can put also ones called Myers spruce, or you can put a Black Hill spruce in too. They look differently, okay? They're different look to them, but I'm finding that everybody who puts the same type of spruce tree in are having issues now after many years, okay? Don't monoculture, and you'll have better success in the long term, okay?
Okay.
Awesome. Excellent. Thanks so much for the call, Edie. Have a great day.
Thank you so much. You too. Bye-bye.
All right. We've got about 1 minute left for our final caller of the morning, Blaine in Saskatoon. Hi, Blaine. Blaine, are you there? Nope. All right. We don't have Blaine, so I guess it's just you and I for this last minute, Rick. Okay. Well, head to the text line quickly. This is from Julie in Battleford. I'm in sandy soil and my cucumbers have stalled. They gave off blossoms, but they're not doing anything. I'm fertilizing and watering them.
Yeah, just moisture, sticking your finger in. This extreme heat will stall a lot of plants, okay?
Yeah.
So the only way you're going to get through that is just make sure you keep them good and moist, not wet, but moist. And by sticking your finger in the soil, don't go on schedule on the moisture level. You got to stick your finger in the soil and keep the nutrients there, and you got to try to push them through the heat. But the heat will always stall plants, so you got to push them through that part. So just watch the moisture.
Perfect. Okay, one last text. This is from Rosanda in Estevan. I have a few watermelons that are about the size of a cantaloupe. How can I tell if they're ready to pick?
A lot of times they won't be quite ready yet. A lot of times they'll finish off in our province because we're so late. They'll finish off closer to September long weekend. Okay. So as the evenings get cool at the end of August, then you may want to use a crop cover because they'll actually, I picked 17 pound watermelons before.
Oh, wow.
But I've had to get them through those cool evenings in the end of August and the first week of September. So using a crop cover over top of them will get that bigger watermelon. So, but it's a little bit too early yet.
Perfect. All right. That's all we've got time for today. Thanks so much for your time, Rick.
Okay.
Awesome. Have a great
fun.
It always is. Have a good rest of your week. I'm okay. Brittany Cafe here with Rick Van Dyvendyke, and you're listening to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.